We now turn to the Word of God found in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles to make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. The word ashamed means they're disappointed. Neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproachhood of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. The first three verses are my text this evening. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word again this evening. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, Isaiah was a prophet of the southern kingdom of Judah. He was that prophet from the day when King Uzzah died. And he was the prophet then during the reigns of wicked Jotham, Ahaz, then Hezekiah, into the beginning of his son Manasseh. And yes, Hezekiah was a godly king, but the others were evil. The son of Hezekiah leading Israel into more sin than what they had ever done before. It was a dark chapter. And the first 39 chapters then of the book of Isaiah talk about the punishment, the judgment of God that is going to come upon this apostate people. They are going to go into captivity for 70 years. But beginning in chapter 40 of Isaiah, there comes to the rest of the book comfort. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And what is the comfort? That comfort is that the Lord will not always be wroth with His people. As we read in this chapter, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. A little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will remember thee and have mercy on thee, saith the Lord. What mercy? For in chapter 53, the Holy Spirit through Isaiah sets forth the suffering servant of Jehovah, the one who is going to be afflicted and stricken by God, not for his own transgressions, but for our transgressions. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And having spoken now of that suffering servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah is ready to speak about the blessedness of the church of Jesus Christ. And what we have before us is a beautiful passage. It's of great significance to the church today. Practical, spiritual point of view. It speaks in prophetic language of the expansion of the church as it began at Pentecost and continues throughout the new dispensation until the day Jesus comes back, and there's going to be a multitude that no man can number. That church did not begin at Pentecost, as some want to say. God always had His church beginning with Adam and Eve. But what is pictured there for God's people, the hope of the Old Testament saints, is that that church is going to flourish. She is not forsaken by the Lord, but He will have mercy and He will bless her with an abundant number of saints. So my sermon is entitled, Enlarge the Place of Thy Tent. That is the command of God that comes in verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Notice with me the great expectation that is held before the church. Notice, second of all, then, the preparation she must make for this expectation. And then thirdly, the cause for this expectation. Israel is pictured here as a woman. A woman who would like to have a husband, and as a woman who would love to have many children. So it's the picture of a woman as a mother. But notice what he calls her in our text. He says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. Barren. That is how he pictures the church in his day and the days to come. She, Zion, who was 70 souls when they entered into Egypt and came out with a multitude of 2 million. She who had prospered in the land flowing with milk and honey under the reigns of David and Solomon. The enemies defeated in a time of peace and prosperity. Oh, what sin did to her. What sin did to her so that the enemies around the neighbors conquer over and over. Isaiah is a prophet at the time when the northern tribes are taken away by Assyria, never to return again. And he holds now before Judah the call to repentance. She will be punished for her sins. And she's going to go into captivity, and she and her captivity will not be able to bear many sons and daughters. She is going to be the barren one. What is going to happen to that great nation? No wonder they hang up their harps on the willows there when in Babylon. For the church is finally reduced to about 49,000 plus that are willing to come back to a land that is desolate after the captivity. She is called not only the barren one, the one who will have no children, but she also is called in verse 4, remember not the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. How in the world can he talk about her as a widow? It means that the husband is gone, left. And that is exactly the way it is going to feel for the church when she is in captivity. God has forsaken. God has turned his face away from me. And beloved, that is exactly the way the experience that we will have, any one of us will have when we walk willingly in the way of sin. We will not experience God's blessing, but you will experience God's wrath and judgment. You will experience his face as against you. No wonder they would hang up their harps on the willows when they were asked for a song of mirth. O barren one, you see that the church is compared there to Sarah of old, or Hannah. They of themselves could not have any children. And when calling her then the children of Sarah, the barren one, the widow, no offspring, the Holy Spirit is bringing the covenant into view. What would happen to Abraham and to Sarah if they had no children? Their line would die out. The covenant of God would be no more. But no, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob is still the God of his church. And yes, he is wrathful because of sin, and they're going to experience that wrath. Yet he is their husband. He is their Lord. He is the Holy One of Israel. He will not forget her. Sing, O barren one, thou that didst not bear. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. What a dark, dark time ahead of them. But here is hope brought. Why are they to sing? Well, they are to sing because, verse 3, thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. They are to sing because the end of verse 1, more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Oh yes, Israel knew herself as the wife of the Lord in the reigns of David and of Solomon, of godly kings. They had many children, but more will be the children of the desolate. Here's a promise. Here's a promise. More, many, many, many children will be given to you. An extraordinary number of children. Children that she herself will not bear. But children that the Lord is going to bring to her from the east and from the west. They're going to come pouring in. This work of God is going to be extraordinary and it's going to be wonderful. And it takes place. It takes place by the work of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant who laid down his life an offering for his sin so that he would see his offspring. It's going to take place by the work of the Holy Spirit so that God gathers his people out of all the nations and brings them to the church. And that process continues. It continues until Jesus Christ comes again. God's elect a multitude that no man can count. Breaking forth, we read, verse 3. Breaking forth on the right hand and on the left. So many children. My dad was a farmer. Usually we cut all of our corn and we put it up in the silo, but that year was a bumper year. And we had so much corn to pick so that we had a rickety old long corn crib and we filled it up from one end to the end of the other end. And it was leaning and the boards were starting to pop forth. There was so much corn in there. That's the picture of the church. God is going to give you so many children that you can hardly contain them. Boys and girls, you maybe knew that nursery rhyme of the little old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. A glorious picture here is given to the church. She seems forsaken. She's going to go into captivity. She will be punished for her sins. But the word of comfort, because the suffering servant of Jehovah has taken the punishment out of the judgment so that she is chastised in the way of faith and repentance through the work of the Lord Jesus, she is going to be given so many children. And so she is called to sing. Sing. Break forth in singing. In fact, verse 1. Stand in awe, the Holy Spirit is saying to this people. They've never seen something like this before. Yes, the Lord greatly multiplied them down in Egypt. Yes, the Lord had multiplied them as a nation. But what they had seen before was nothing like they would see one day in the future after Jesus Christ had come, suffered and died, arose in heaven, sent out his Spirit. He is going to enlarge the church. How wonderful. Sing. Cry out. Break forth into singing. That singing is not just from the lips, beloved. That singing comes from hearts that stand in amazement at the grace and the glory of God. What a promise that he makes! He has not forgotten her. But verse 5, thy maker is thine husband. He loves her. And yes, like Hosea of old, even though she had violated the covenant, her marriage, he takes her back and he will bless her. Because of this great promise, many, many, many children, she's called to prepare for it. So we read in verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent. So we have an image of a mother in a tent. An apt analogy to use. For that is what Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were, weren't they? They lived in tents, for they looked for that city that would have foundations whose builder and maker is God. They recognized that their hopes were not tied to a piece of land or how many things, how many valuables they had. And the church always must be cognizant of that. We are pilgrims and strangers here. Our hope is not on the things that the world can give us or that we can make from the world. There has been no U-Haul trailers following the hearses carrying the dead to the grave. You can't take it with you. We're here for a little while. We recognize how small a time we are here. Our hope is set on the city above that comes down, Jerusalem. Yes, tense. It brings to their remembrance the time that they lived in tents in the wilderness. And did the Lord ever forsake them? Oh, how they grieved Him again and again and again, didn't they? They complained about water. They complained about food. They complained about the manna that God gave. But God never gave them up. But over and over again would forgive them their sins. Give them what they stood in need of. Water from the rock. Bread from the skies. Birds to eat, clothes that would not wear out, shoes that would not wear out. The Lord cared for them through their whole pilgrimage. What a blessed picture there is that tent as they go off into captivity. A woman in a tent, because there is no solid building here on earth. We're just residents for a little while. But now, these tents where God dwells in the midst of the tents, comes the command. Enlarge the place of thy tent. It's a command. Enlarge the place of thy tent because of this great expectation that has been given to you, this promise of God. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Does this verse ring any bells to you, boys and girls? A tent being enlarged. Does it bring you back to a prophecy spoken by Noah? After Noah was off the ark, he planted a vineyard. Yes. Still a sinful man, we all are. He planted that vineyard, became drunk, was unseemly. And his son Ham went into the tent, and he could not contain his mirth. Look at the old man, he's always harping at us how we should behave and live holy lives, and now look at the drunken old sot. How he loved to mock. And then Shem and Japheth, they took up a blanket, walked backward into the tent to cover over their father's nakedness. And when Noah wakes up and he hears about this, the Lord uses this so that he makes a prophecy. And we read there, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Shem, that is the church of the Old Testament. On the whole part, the church in the Old Testament was the descendants of Shem, with a few others that would come in. But now a new thing's going to happen. Enlarge the place of thy tent is the command. The place of the tent, make it nice and smooth. Get out those rocks that otherwise are going to sit in the middle of your back while you're trying to sleep in the tent. Or your head is going to rest on them. Make it nice and smooth. Enlarge the place of the tent. Make your curtains much longer and make your stakes more sturdy and put them out. Make it large, very large. because you shall break forth on the right hand and on the left hand. So many sons and daughters are going to come. Make room. How many children? We read in Isaiah 60. And the Gentiles shall come into thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and shall flow together, thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Oh, what a large number. And the Apostle Paul recognized that, and he quotes this very verse. As he talks about the wives of Abraham, Sarah and Hagar, and that it is Sarah who is the true mother of the covenant, and she is blessed in Isaac. And we read in Galatians 4, verse 27, when he's talking about the true seed of Israel, for it is written, Galatians 4, verse 27, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she that hath an husband. He says, we, children. He's talking about the New Testament believers. We are those children of promise, as was Isaac. Many, many children. Enlarge the place of the tent. Make room. Don't say, well, we're big enough. We don't need to make more room. God says, enlarge the place of the tent. Expect what I have promised. Make room. Make room. We read in Isaiah 49, verse 20, of this expectation. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other, that is the unfaithful Jews who rejected Jesus. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Boys and girls, straight means it's too narrow, it's too tight, there's not enough room, it's been out. Give me place that I may dwell. Then thou wilt say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these? Seeing I've lost my children and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro. Who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where have they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. What a picture. Make that tent extra large, because the nations are going to be bringing thy sons and daughters to thee. Sons and daughters that we haven't born ourselves, but which God is going to cause to come unto us. Make room. For all the children of God must have room, a place in God's church. So then the question comes, well, now how about do we do this? Why is this a prophetic picture of missions? Well, how do we enlarge the place of the tent? And the answer is, we do it through the proclamation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The suffering servant has come. He was afflicted for our sins. He will see his seed. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now perhaps you say, well, but Isaiah pictures these children as coming. And yes, he pictures them as coming because he's picturing it as a work of God. God is causing these sons and these daughters to come to Zion. It's not their own work. But how do they come? How do they come? they come when the church is obedient to her Lord who tells us to go. Go unto the nations, preaching, teaching, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Enlarge the place of the tent, it means proclaim to them the truth of Jesus Christ. Feed those sheep. Instruct those sheep. Comfort those sheep. Assist those sheep. Protect those sheep. Teach those sheep and their children and their children's children. That is our calling as the Church of Jesus Christ. Not merely the home missionary, not merely the foreign missionary. They're just instruments of us, the church. And it is to the church that God says, enlarge the place of thy tent. Don't be satisfied with what we have, but make room for many more. When I was in seminary, a missionary professor said that every church that really wants to do evangelism needs 1/4 to 1/3 of the seats empty so that there is room. And when I preached this sermon on my farewell morning, I looked at my Byron congregation. They got some work ahead of them, even physically. There's not room for hardly a person, let alone a family. But it's not here talking really about the physical building, is it? A picture is made here of a woman living with her children in a tent, and so many children are going to be brought to her by the Lord that she needs to make room for them. And she makes room for them by preparing the place for them, by teaching them, by feeding them, by comforting them, for instructing them, for protecting them. But not only must she do these things, teach and feed and protect and instruct, but she has to be willing to accept them. She needs to be willing to accept them. For Japheth's children won't be exactly like Shem's children, will they? And the children that God brings into His church will not be exactly like we are. They might not be of Dutch descent. They might not have a light color of skin. They might not be saying thee and thou, they're used to you in the prayer. They might like to sing with a little bit beat in it. They might be different. And the church is always scared of something being different. They surely were in the New Testament, weren't they? When Japheth started entering into the tents of Shem, many of the residents of Shem were horrified. They're not circumcised like us. They don't eat like us. They don't keep our laws like we do. And over, there was the turmoil in the New Testament church in assimilating, accepting those whom the Lord was bringing into His church. And there's always the fear, still today, they do things different. They might talk a little different. And we're afraid. We need to accept them. When I had just come and joined our denomination in 92, soon after that, an older mother of Israel said to me in one of our churches, "Yeah, these outsiders that are coming in, they weaken the church. They weaken the church." I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't come to weaken the church." She said, "Oh, I didn't mean you, but these other outsiders that come in, they weaken the church." He said, No, they don't. Those whom the Lord brings in from the outside are good for the church and even necessary for the church. because they come with an enthusiasm and a love for what we have when often we are kind of ho-hum or we take it for granted. When I was in the Philippines preaching there, it was about 2 o'clock on a Monday morning when the phone is ringing. And I get out of the bed and I answer the phone and I say, "Hello." "Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor." He says, "In your sermon you said this and this today, and my wife and I were discussing this and we weren't sure exactly what you meant." Well, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I wasn't sure either what I had meant at that time. But this is the point. They were so hungry. They were discussing the sermon together till 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, when was the last time that one of you have awakened up your pastor, Pastor Langrack, with questions about the sermon that he preached? Now, he might not appreciate 2 o'clock in the morning, but how wonderful that God's people are dwelling on the word that was preached into the new week. We need that kind of enthusiasm. It's good for the church to have newcomers love what we have. You see, because that's why we were singing, wasn't it? We were singing, "O Barren One." We were crying aloud with amazement because from the heart of ours that knows and loves and confesses the truth of the redemption, we want others also to know and to love and to confess that truth. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. We're not selfish. But we want that which we and our children have for others also to have. Even as the children of Shem were told that their tents would be filled with the descendants of Japheth. But you say, "Those are children coming from the east and from the west. We sang in our one song here, didn't we? Heathen lands and hostile peoples, soon shall come the Lord to know." Oh, that's the Philippines, isn't it? Or Singapore. Have you looked around in any of our cities? I think any one of our cities and areas could be called heathen lands and hostile peoples all around us. Are you ready to hear the Lord saying, "I'm going to bring so many children to you, you need to enlarge your tent. Make room for them." Are you ready to be surprised? Wasn't Shem surprised at Pentecost when the Lord added 3,000 souls to His church in one day? And weren't they surprised when Peter went to the house of Cornelius and he heard their faith and he saw the sign of the Holy Spirit coming upon them? How could he not baptize them? Was he not surprised? Were they not surprised in Antioch when there was such a glad response to the gospel that Barnabas is sent there and the work is so great that he has to call Saul also to help him? And weren't we surprised? Weren't we surprised when a couple of our ministers were cast out of another denomination? How the Lord blessed that work and churches were formed. And weren't we surprised when we were decimated by more than half in 53 and how the Lord blessed us and the number of churches that we have? And weren't we surprised in Singapore when the heathen took the gospel in and the church was founded? And weren't we surprised in the Philippines? And is there any reason why we should not be ready to be surprised at what the Lord can do here? What the Lord says He will do here. I think too often we are ashamed. That is, we don't expect great things. We're disappointed. We say it's just going to be hard work and who's really going to listen? There must be no weakness of faith. There must be no saying it's good enough as it is. to build a large church and to do all this mission work. It costs an awful lot. Why should we do it? Are they really going to come? The Lord says, enlarge the place of thy tent, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. What is the cause for this expectation? What is the cause for this labor that we're called to? God's promise. God's promise to Abraham, isn't it? What did the Lord say to Abraham? We read in Genesis 12, verse 3, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Again, Genesis 13, verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. You know, boys and girls, I just moved out of our old house and out of my old study. Now, our house was always clean, but my study wasn't always clean. My wife was told, you may go in there. And there was a lot of dust in a lot of the places. I couldn't begin to count the dust in my study, let alone the dust of the earth. Can you number it? And God says to Abraham, so shall your seed be as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the seashore. So great a number. God's promise. God continues that same promise later on also then to Jacob, almost word for word, as the dust of the earth. Isaiah 54, verse 3, thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. This is God's word. God's word, which is not a mere wish, but God's word, which is powerful, effectual. God says it. And God will do it. God does it. It is all God's work. God has sovereignly elected them to eternal life. And not one will be lost. Those whom He has chosen. God does it. He has redeemed them. He is redeeming them by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. God does it because it is His Spirit that enters into the hearts and the minds of those who hear the preaching of the Word, turning them from darkness to light, from sin to God. It is the Word, and it is the work of God, and therefore we can expect this. It will take place. We read in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Enlarge the place of thy tent. They're going to come from the right and from the left. But there are some who say, well, yeah, the Lord says in Isaiah they're going to come. So let them come. Here we are. If they want to come, we're open. The doors are open Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Let them come. They come. When we as a church go, we go out into our neighborhood. We live that godly life that causes them to wonder, what is the hope? What makes these people tick? They want what we have. When we go out in our Bible studies, and yes, sometimes small Bible studies, but nevertheless, what would we do for one soul? There was a man that I knew in our churches. He says, yes, we need to do missions. We need to do missions because God tells us to, but it really isn't all that important because God has elected whom He has elected and they will be saved. Not one will be lost. Foolish man. God uses means, doesn't He? He uses His church. And so His word comes now to these desperate, barren ones who are going to go into captivity, don't give up hope. Here is the comfort. I will give you many, 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 many children that you have not born. Therefore, you have an obligation. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Because of God's word and because of God's work, we have a basis for being zealous about doing missions. It's all of God, isn't it? It is all of God. He gives his word. He sends his church. He calls the preacher and he calls the missionary to do that work for the church. He prepares the field. God shows the way to his church. And the church obeys and preaches his word wherever God opens up a door. And all his elect ones will be added to the church. Do you see the picture? Do you see the tides and tides of people coming, sons and daughters being carried to the church, their mother? We read in Mark 16, verse 11, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Again, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So let's ask the questions that we find in Romans 10. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Zealous in missions. You see, missions isn't my task. Missions is our task. God has given me as an instrument to help you, but it's our task. Many, many children. Don't doubt. Yes, unbelief is strong. Yes, the work will be hard in America. But God has made a promise. Heathen lands and hostile peoples, soon shall come the Lord to know. Born in Zion. Amen. Father, we thank thee for the comfort from thy word. No, thy church is not despised. No, thy church is not forsaken. But thou wilt in thy everlasting kindness bless her. Thou wilt give her many, many children. Thou wilt make her a multitude that no man can number. And with that word of God and the work of thy Holy Spirit, then we will be faithful. We will be faithful to share the good news that we have, that Reformed heritage that we have been blessed with. We desire others also to have it. Bless, O Lord, the preaching of thy gospel on this Lord's day and wherever it was preached, in truth and sincerity and in spirit. Amen.